98.1 Radio Free Santa Fe, the latest from Silver Sun Pickups. And that's called Here We Are. Well, you know, I was telling you just a little while ago that joining us in the studio, legendary saxophone player who has played with all of the greats, Bobby Keys is with us, and also Tom Briggs is with us as well. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bobby, I was reading your background, and I thought, Lord, no wonder you've got a book out that just came out called Every Night's a Saturday Night. You've got more rock and roll stories than maybe Keith Richards.
Well, no, I wouldn't go quite that far, but I've shared quite a few with Keith.
I know you guys are big friends.
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. I met him first in San Antonio, Texas, back in the 60s. And Keith and I discovered we were both born the same day, same month, and same year within a few minutes of each other. Although he is older, you could tell by the minute you look at him, you'll see that's plain as a nose on your face.
No, that's true. He looks about three times your age.
Just kidding, Keith.
Now, you have played on so many of the Rolling Stones albums. You toured with them. You've played with John Lennon, Harry Nilsson. I mean, And you started when you were 15, like playing with people.
Yeah, it was about the only reason for my existence in Slayton was for athletics, and I was not that athletic. The only ticket out of town that was I'd seen some other folks from Lubbock had some success in music, and they went to places like New York and Los Angeles, and I wanted to go too.
So, Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, Waylon Jennings. Roy Orbison was from that area. I used to watch him at the skating rink in Lubbock on Saturday nights back in 56, 57.
I got to ask you, because you participated in that Lost Weekend that so many people know about with John Lennon and Harry Nilsson. What was that like?
Don't remember. No, it was actually the culmination that night. It was the culmination of a lot of time that we'd been spending in the studio together with Harry and John and Jim Keltner and the other folks that were on the records. And it was just kind of end of a album, get together, celebration, let's go have lunch. And it turned into dinner, and it turned into, we just kept on having fun, and more fun and more fun, and ended up at the Troubadour Lounge. And had a little too much fun, I guess, and we were asked to leave.
Is that when John put the
device on his head? Yes, the sanitary napkin on the forehead night.
That'll get you thrown out.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so in Los Angeles. I mean, come on, you know. People wear a lot stranger things out there than sanitary napkins. But anyway, yes, it. I think it was due in large because we were causing a little bit of a distraction from Tom Smothers or somebody who was on stage that night. I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, those guys had a lot of fun during that period of time, made a lot of good music with John and Harry and a core bunch of musicians that participated in most of those recordings.
What a great musician Harry Nilsson was.
Yeah, Harry was – he's the godfather of my son, or was the godfather of my son, Huckleberry. Harry was – we got to be close friends when he came to London to start recording Nilsson Schmilsson, I think, was the album.
What a great album.
And – his producer and Harry and I became very good friends, and so I played on a lot of his records. He liked to have his friends around him, so he was always good fun making a Harry record.
What about playing with the Plastic Ono Band?
I never really played with the Plastic Ono Band. I recorded a track with Yoko Ono, and I think it was just her and her interpretation of a very artistic form of expression that she called music.
I got a chance to interview her a couple of weeks ago.
Is that right?
And what was it like, though, when you first met her?
Well, she didn't like me at all because I was living in the property adjacent to hers and John's. In fact, John moved me in there and moved Yoko's. She had a photographer on staff and on call 24 hours a day. She thought that every moment, every minute of every day should be documented for future reference. Anyway, and she was taking John out of there, or suggesting pulling John out of the rock and roll element that he's loved and enjoyed so much, and I represented that. So when I moved in next door, she saw me as somewhat of a threat to her program. But that kind of got smoothed over one afternoon when John called me up to come over and play saxophone on a track on her album that she was recording. And I went over there and did it. And it was a very unique experience. She asked me to portray a frog. She played this music, and the music was quite, I guess you'd call it eccentric, esoteric, different. And I said, Yoko, what would you like for me to do on this? And she told me the story of this this pond in the north of England, and all the denizens of the pond, the creatures, were leaving because winter was coming on, and they were all going points south, except for this one lonely bullfrog, the last guy there on the pond, who was sitting on a lily pad, and she said, now you are that frog, and this guy is miserable. The cold north wind's blowing up his backside, and he's just really miserable, and that's what I want you to express on the record. So that's what I tried to convey as a lonely, cold frog.
Okay, now when she said that to you, what went through your mind? Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, like, well, you know, I've got some requests from clients before. I didn't really regard her as a client, but I looked at John, and he just kind of looked his other way, and was like, hey, you're on your own, pal. You know, take it and go wherever you want to go, but I ain't here to help you on this one. So I just put my horn together and hit the lowest note on the saxophone, which is a very low B flat, and I saw her eyebrows elevate about 2 feet above her half top of her head, and she said, that's it, that's my frog, you've got it. And I looked at John, and he was very relieved, and of course I was relieved. I thought, wow, that was really easy, you know. So then Yoko allowed me to come over and play with John for a while after that.
What a story. I guess your book, Every Night's a Saturday Night, is just full of stories like this, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of sensational information there. In fact, there's none. It's just hijinks of young boys out on the road feeling their oats, making lots of money, and kissing girls and making them cry.
Well, it worked for Keith Richards in his book, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a great book, too. I enjoyed that a lot. The one, the last one, Life. Mm-hmm. He's had some. There were other books that were published in regard to his life, but Life got it. The other ones, I don't. I got it.
What was it like touring? You toured with the Stones for years.
Yes, since 1970. And that's years. It's about 40 of them, actually more than that. it's gotten to be different. In the beginning, it was kind of like, you know, just a big traveling rock and roll circus, you know. And now it's quite... It's a little bit more organized, a little bit more corporate, if you will, and there's a lot more people involved and a lot more stuff involved. But when you get out on stage, that's the proof of the pudding right there, and the feeling on stage hasn't changed. It's just the method of getting there.
Do you think that the Stones will tour again?
God, I hope so. I'm in debt. Yeah, the IRS has been talking to me. I honestly do not know. I won't even speculate, because every time I say what I think is going to happen, actually the opposite happens. So if I keep my mouth shut, I feel like it's probably the best policy. But I hope they do.
You know, there must be some sort of stardust that you have and that the Stones have, that you guys, first of all, that they've been together 50 years and you've been with them, and you guys are still playing.
Yes, not quite as frequently as we used to, but the prospect of playing is still there. It's still making records. I was in New York a couple of weeks ago, and I did some recording with Keith. He's preparing a new solo album, which is really going to be good. What I heard sounds great. He's got some good, really good people on it with him.
And I go to Athens, Georgia a lot. I'm from back in the South.
Oh, is that right?
You played at the Georgia Theater.
Yes, those boys, Bloodkin. I just played with them a couple of weeks ago up in... at a private function in Westchester, New York.
And Bloodkin, when you were at the Georgia Theater in Athens,
right.
They were calling it Exile on Lumpkin Street, I believe.
Yeah,
if you know
right.
about
that's
Athens.
That's right. They, I got a call from these fellas, and I heard of the band, but I wasn't that familiar with their music. And I got a call from their manager, and they said they were going to be recreating this. They wanted to do the album Exile on Main Street, and would I be interested in playing? And I said, well, shoot, I know the material, sure. And I went to Georgia and rehearsed with them and got to know them. It's a good band. and I've done several gigs with them since.
Well, people know you as a session player, but you've put out several solo albums.
One, legally. There's another album that was released by some fellas from Jamaica that I had a association with several years back. But the first and the only albums of Bobby Keys album released on Warner Brothers back in 1971 or two or somewhere in there. I don't really recall.
Well, now you're going to be playing, you've got several dates around here. Tonight you're going to be in Albuquerque at Low Spirits, and then Friday night you're going to be at Los Alamos, and then you're going to be at Vanessi on Saturday night here. Who's your band now?
Well, my band now, in fact, Tom is here with us, and he put together these fellas and Lady, and the band is called The Attitudes, and we're not... We're not overly rehearsed. We're fresh. Anyway, we got Julie Stewart singing, and beautiful young lady, Randy Clark, playing mandolin. I've never played in a band with a mandolin player in it, and I was kind of wondering what that's going to be like. And Randy gets around the mandolin quite well. And then we got Tim Arnold on guitar, and Jimmy Martinez playing bass. And, of course, as I said, Tom and on vocals is Nervous Jim Almond.
Almond.
See,
I know him. Yeah, Jim Almond. Yeah.
He's not nervous at all. He's a nice guy.
Well, actually, the band is Jim's band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that ought to be really... What time is the show going to be Saturday night?
Saturday night, the show starts at 8 o'clock.
And up in Los Alamos, where is that going to be?
It's going to be at Los Alamos National Bank.
Uh-huh. They do series up there. Have you ever played a bank before?
No, but I should be able to get paid after the gig.
Don't count on it.
Okay.
Well, you know, they'll be closed is what I'm saying.
Wow. Well, this is such a pleasure to meet you, and I'm looking forward to reading your book. It just came out in April. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, and it's... I don't know if it's available in the local bookstores, but you can go online to what are your online providers?
Here?
No.
No, where?
Go online.
Yeah,
to.
Google
website,
it. Yeah.
Which is forgotten.
To what?
To order the book.
To order your book?
To order my book.
Through our website?
No.
For your website? Go on Facebook.
I feel high right now.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
Let's just go blow this joint.
Yeah.
I bet if you just Google Bobby Keys and Every Night's a Saturday Night, you can find out where to get the book, like through Amazon or anything
Amazon
like that.
Amazon is what I was trying to recall. Yeah. Amazon.com.
It takes three of us now to do things.
It's early in the morning. Yeah. Well...
Hey, one last question, if you would share the story, because you were touring with the Stones, and then Mick fired you for a couple of years, and what was the incident that...
Mick never fired me. We had a mutual understanding that we were going to keep a distance between it. Well, actually, I had some problems I had to work out, and the road was not the place to do it, so I took a leave of absence.
And has anything to do with a bathtub full of champagne?
No. That didn't have nothing to do with that. That was fine. Wonderful. I even used to sign Mick's name to all my room service charges. It didn't have anything to do with that either. It was just some personal problems that had to be sorted out. And they got sorted, and voila, back again.
And you are back in the saddle again. And hopefully you'll be touring again when the Stones, I know they've got to do it again. I just know it.
Well, everybody hold that thought. I hope they do.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, hearing you play. And once again, tonight at Low Spirits in Albuquerque and Los Alamos Friday night, and right here at Vanessi this Saturday night. And what a pleasure to meet you, Bobby Keys.
Oh, my pleasure. Getting up early is worth it to come talk to a lovely lady like you. Thank you very much.
Well, you are a bee charmer, aren't you? See you later, and thanks again for being here.
My pleasure.
At Santa Fe Music Videos, our mission is to tell the world about the amazing